Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read them, mark them, learn them, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and by comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you've given us in your Son, our Saviour, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please. Well, let me say, as you know, you only have one life. There's only one life to live, so choose well. There is a young fellow there, right at the beginning of life. Looks a handsome little child. Well, Creator gave him only one life, and which life shall we choose? Now, there are two things in the choosing of life. First of all, the things that you will choose to do, and the other is the context in which you'll live. The Creator is the one who obviously knows the best way to live, and he's put that in the handbook called the Bible. And so what we ought to do is, if we are wise, we ought to take up the wisdom that the Scriptures say and live accordingly. Now, today what I'm going to do, because of the sermon series, I'm going to choose two of advisors who will give us advice on life. Now, here's the first one. I'm going to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and 12, and this is Solomon's advice. Now, I'm going to call him Old Solomon, because I think while he's writing, I think it's pretty. He's in his latter years, as far as I can see. He was certainly God's appointed teacher, and he was God's appointed teacher in Israel. In fact, if you want to go back to 1 Kings 10 and 1 Kings 3, you will see that there is no other who would be like him in their wisdom. What he did was, at the beginning of his reign, is he prayed that he might have wisdom in order to give advice and rule the people of Israel. God said he would have wisdom like no other person. He was going to rule, he was going to have the wisdom to rule well. People came from afar. There was no other kings like him in the whole of that period of time. So here we have an appointed teacher by God telling Israel in their time how to live. What he says, he urges Israel to enjoy life. That's one thing he does. Let me read from verse 7 and 8. Life is sweet, and it pleases the eye to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let him enjoy them all. In the dressing sheds at the Coromel Pool, people, after I finish my swim and after they finish their swim, all the oldies say, "Oh, well, how are you going? Glad to have it over, but it's good to be upright." Well, if you've got life, enjoy it. Enjoy it in your time. However, as he gives that advice, he gives an alert to the oldies. Okay? Old age is hard. There's no doubt about that. Chapter 12, verse 1. The years approach when you will say, "I find no pleasure in them." Billy Graham says, "Old age is not for sissies." In fact, there was a member of this congregation who used to always say, "I don't know why I'm alive. I'd rather be in heaven with God." Not much pleasure in these days. Well, that's a matter of fact. Just take it to heart. That's how it's going to be. And then he goes, I must say the description is terrible here. It's a great description about old age. The eyes fail, teeth fail, the grinders fail, ears fail. I used to think that there were these older gentlemen who were terribly well disciplined. They used to get up so early in the morning and say their prayers. I know why they got up. They couldn't sleep. that's the reason. He said, you can hear all the birds. Well, you can't hear them, actually. They wake up early and you're waking up before them. That's basically what he's saying here. And what happens is sleep flees and confidence fails you. It's interesting now as I walk down steps. This is your test for your age. If you walk down steps and you're young, you walk like this. If you walk down steps and you're old, you're like this. Now, having said those things, I'm now going to put in poetry as Solomon does. He chooses his words carefully. Remember, he's the wise man. He's not only wise, he's also a good communicator. He has spent time polishing these words. I'll read from verse 2 onwards of chapter 12. The sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark. Now, they don't grow dark. What's happening is your eyes are failing. The clouds return after the rain. It's not just dull. It's your eyes are going. That's the problem. When the keepers of the house tremble, that's you inside, and the strong men stoop, you see some of these guys, you know, the young blokes, they were big guys. I saw Johnny Raper. I don't know if you'll know who he is, you'll know who he is. Johnny Raper played us. He was the best lock forward in Australia. And I saw him at a funeral a few years ago. Well, he's like this. And I think, I can't believe he was a bloke who was tackling all those Englishmen and knocking them over and so on. We stoop. The grinders, that's your teeth, they cease because they're few. Those looking through the windows grow dim. That's your eyes are failing. When the doors of the street are closed and the sound of the grinding fades, the people rise at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. They don't hear them. They just wake up at the same time. People are afraid of heights, dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms, that is, almond blossoms are white, their hair goes white. Now, some of us, we haven't even got that privilege. Some of us haven't got much hair at all, I can see as I look down. The grasshopper drags itself along. The desire, sexual desire, well, that's no longer, that's not stirred up. Then people go to their eternal homes and the mourners go about the streets. Now, we don't see the mourners about the streets, but I notice in our place where there's lots of over 50s, the ambulances are becoming more frequent. Now, they're the signs of... That's how it is. So enjoy life, but when all those things go wrong, that's life. That's what it's like. I warn you, enjoy it. But those things are going to happen. Now, young people, as I look around here, I don't find... Poor old Henry, this is the whole sermon pointed at you, Henry. Okay. Alert to the young. Enjoy life while you're young, mate. That's what he says here. Don't overly anxious yourself and carry burdens that aren't right for your age. 11 verse 9, you who are young, be happy while you're young. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart, and whatever your eyes see, so then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off troubles from your body. In other words, enjoy life. If you happen to like this young man, he used to love clashing bodies and all those sorts of things, so he played footy. In fact, he went to university, this particular one, and the thing that he spent most of his time at was playing football. And you might say, well, that's pretty irresponsible. Let me tell you, it was a great help to his study. Kept you sharp. And in fact, in the second year of his degree, it was the best thing in the world because he broke his leg and then he couldn't do anything else but study, and he's got the best exam results that year. So it's good for you. Play footy if you're... Okay? Good on you, Henry. Okay. Right. Now, banish anxiety from... For heaven's sake, don't load young people up with things that they shouldn't have to worry about. And young people, throw it off anyway. However, here's some warnings. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. Know the Creator early. Be responsible in your youth. Now, I'm going to choose the safe one. I'm just going to talk about physical things. I'm not going to tell you about all the moral problems I had. But the physical things. If you're going to play football, well, guess what? You'll break your leg. Guess what? You'll smash your nose. Guess what? You'll smash your collarbone. Guess what? You'll get head injuries with so on. And I can tell you, that happens. And you're going, and there are going to be consequences for it. Now, let me also say, if you're going to do immoral things in those times, you're going to get drunk, you're going to do it, they'll come back on you as well. That'll come back on you in this life and actually could choose the way that you're going to live so that it won't be much good for the next either. So be aware of your Creator very early. And what he says here in chapter 12, verses 9 to 12, he says, listen to the teacher. Don't dismiss them. I read from verse 9 and 12. Not only was the teacher wise, that he did have wisdom, he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and he searched out and set in order many proverbs. He tried to work it out and sharpen it up, so it was good to hear. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads, the thing that you hit the cattle or the sheep with. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails that guided you and directed you. It's given by one shepherd, that is, by the Lord. There's a whole range of other people. Go to a bookshop sometime and they'll tell you how to be this, how to be that. There's a million books written on how to live your life. Go to the one teacher, namely God. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Making many books, there's no end. There's no end to it. Look in my library, I've got all these jolly books there. And then the other thing is, much study is a weariness of the flesh. So keep it short, keep it sharp, keep yourself towards the essence of life. Don't waste your life on all that other stuff. Fear God, keep the commandments. Friends, there was a time when people who were confirmed in the Anglican Church were required to learn the Ten Commandments off by heart. Now that, look, there's only 10 of them. They're sharp and short. They are brilliant. Listen to those. Go back to those things. Sure, there's a whole lot of other books that can be helpful, but keep to the clear, the short ones, the clear ones, the ones that have been tested and true. And then having done all of those things and you finish your life, remember, death ushers in a meaninglessness to the whole lot. I think the best thing was, I think one of our great archbishops was Archbishop Harry Goodhue. He was a great one. He certainly shaped up our churches today. The reason we have goals and aims and all that sort of thing is because of Harry Goodhue. He was the one who really put it across the whole of the diocese. Now, he'd retired for 2 weeks. Okay? He went to Church House. He went to where all the officers are. He wanted to see someone. Went to the receptionist and he said, I wonder if I could see so-and-so. The young receptionist said, certainly, sir. And whom shall I say is calling? Harry says, rooster one day, feather duster the next. Now, that sort of wisdom sort of thing. They're the, get hold of those. Listen to those. Okay, now that's old Solomon's advice. Now, here's another one who gives advice. And I've called it greater than Solomon's advice. Now, I thought I'd try and pick one part. Luke 6 is what I've basically picked. In Luke 11 and verse 31, Jesus says, look, the Queen of Sheba, she came from a long way away to hear the wisdom of Solomon. I tell you, a greater than Solomon is here before you. Now, let me just underline that. I'm sure I don't need to convince you much about that, but I will say a couple of things. Jesus spoke with greater authority. The crowds, they sensed his authority. You can tell when people go to listen to people who are worth listening to. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 17, Jesus went down from the mountain with the 12, stood on a level place. A large crowd of disciples, that's not a large crowd, a large crowd of disciples gathered to him, people who were learning. And more than that, what you've also got is you've got great multitudes of others, and they came from all over the place. Judea, Jerusalem, coastal region, Tyre and Sidon, they came to hear him. They didn't have trains, they didn't have buses. They walked for kilometres and kilometres to come and hear Jesus. They sensed his authority in just the way he taught. But he spoke with such authority that God sealed that authority by healing people's diseases. This is verses 18 and 19, those troubled by impure spirits were cured. People all tried to touch him because power was coming from him. And he was healing them, I underline, all. So here we have the teacher who was sent by God. Now, what did Jesus speak about? Well, he spoke about God's kingdom. Well, you can read the blessings and the curses. Look at that, verse 20, 23. Looking at the disciples, he said to them, "Blessed you who are poor, yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, you'll be satisfied. Blessed are all who weep now, you'll laugh. Blessed are all when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they insult you, when they reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and you leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets." Now, what we've got here is, he's saying, rejoice in the kingdom. It's a carry on. It's a furthering of what Solomon is saying. He's saying, rejoice in the kingdom. The kingdom he was talking about was an earthly kingdom. He was talking about a kingdom where the ethos and environment was honor God. Jesus is talking about a heavenly kingdom. The ethos and the environment is a brutal pagan kingdom who kill and by force and worship other gods. So it's a different set of circumstances now. So how are you to live in that kingdom? Well, if you're going to live for the kingdom and you're going to be with love and mercy and righteousness, well, I'll tell you what, you're not going to feel comfortable in a world where wealth and laughter and reputation and force are the prime environment. And so you're going to have sadness now. But I tell you what, you'll have glory then. And that's what he's saying. And if you think that that alone is showing that he comes from God, well, think about how he died and was raised by God, and God vindicated everything he stood for. Okay? Live for the kingdom. Don't choose this world with all of its comforts and so on. Don't feel yourself comfortable now. Feel yourself comfortable in Christ's presence, in his kingdom. This time doth death will usher in not meaninglessness, but glory. Now, I think it's important for me just to say again, you've got two different ethoses. In Solomon's kingdom, you've got the temple that he built. You've got the law that is at the heart of that nation and he's upholding it. So you've got a surrounding there where you are to live godly life, fearing God and so on. And you will have great success. In Jesus' time, you haven't got that. You've got this pagan, brutal force that makes the world subservient to it. In that kingdom, if you're going to live for Christ with the commandments and the two commandments, love your neighbour, love yourself, then you're going to find yourself in all sorts of strife. However, the long term, see the long term, be in the kingdom, be in God's kingdom, because there will be glory to come. And you've seen it in Christ Jesus himself. I've said it before and I'll say it a few times, I think almost immortal words, Ken Short's words. Who's Ken Short? Well, he's getting older now and a lot of people won't even know that he was the bishop, but he was. So his name will disappear from history. Throsby Smith. Anyone know who Throsby Smith was? Well, you're sitting in his building, really. Anybody know who Stan Humberson was? Okay. Well, his fence is down there. See, those names will go, you know, doesn't matter. Look, you can have your name on a street, you can have your name on a house, you can have your name in the schools and so on. People will be saying, who on earth is that old guy? Won't even bother. Okay. But in this case, let me give you these eternal words. When Ken Shorter said, how's he going in those latter years, and it was hard going for him, he'd say, I tell you what, there's nothing that I haven't got that a good resurrection won't fix. And then when he was dying, he was asked how he's feeling. He said, the future has never looked better. Now, they're the eternal ones. Okay, oldies, take your wisdom. Okay, youngies, take your wisdom. I'll pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that we won't be deluded. We pray that we will see what is life, whether we grow up in the better times or whether we grow up in the more difficult times. And so, Father, we pray that you'd give us wisdom to live well with you. And we pray this for Christ's sake. Amen. Now, you would think I should sit down, and I should, but I'm not going to do that until we pray this prayer. I'll tell you why. I think that this... I grew up in the early days in really good times. Everyone was required to keep the commandments. That was just the thing. Ronald Neubauer, he grew up in New York. In 1942, he put this prayer together. I wonder if you wouldn't mind saying it on trust, that I've basically summarised what I've got in there, said, and basically tried to put in. I think this is roughly our setting now. So let's say this prayer together. If you feel it's not right, just stop. But I think it's together. Almighty God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed. Courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Next one. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is and not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.